time. I want to see a show of hands here. If you were granted one wish, just one, how many of you would actually ask for world peace? I know, it's what we expect beauty pageant contestants to say, but let's be truthful. What would you really ask for? And you can't ask for more wishes. So, barring that one out, what would be your wish? Anybody, shout one out.
World peace.
Mm-hmm. You would ask for
a beauty queen yet to
be. You would be asking for world peace, all right? I saw a hand back here somewhere.
Family peace.
Family peace, okay. Eliminate hunger. Okay. Anybody else?
Cure for cancer.
A 40-hour work week. Okay. What'd you say?
$1 million.
All right. Okay. I think the one I shared at the 8:15 service this morning was that I would wish that my two sons would grow into godly servants and fine young men that would honor their Lord. So that was mine. I didn't ask for world peace, but I didn't ask for $1 million either. So, you know. Anybody else? You know, what we ask for reveals something about what we value. And it just might indicate something about what you think will lead you to an abundant and happy life. Years ago, Vice President Thomas Marshall said, "What this country really needs is a good 5-cent cigar." Now, I think there might be a thing or two of slightly greater importance than that. But former VP Marshall does reveal something about our reality even today. We are constantly bombarded with messages all around us about the pursuit of happiness. It's even written into our Constitution that that is an inalienable right of all human beings. We have this constant message around us that tells us or tries to tell us what will give us that sense of fulfillment that we long for. And many make claims along the way. T. Rowe Price and other investment firms will tell you it's having enough money in your investment portfolio that leads to an abundant and happy life. Well, if money is the answer, then why did Howard Hughes go nuts and die alone? If financial assets are the key, then why do so many high-profile wealthy people get caught in scandals or have a string of divorces and marriages? Some commercials would tell us that what will lead to our happiness and fulfillment is driving a sexy red-hot Cadillac Escalade or a BMW or an Audi. Others would tell us it's fitting into a size 4 dress or drinking Captain Morgan's rum with our friends. Some would tell us it's the latest iPod or BlackBerry or MacBook. We are told practically everywhere we look that this or that thing, possession or accomplishment, will lead to our true happiness. We could try and boil these elements down into the great tempters like sex, drugs. Now that, when I say I include alcohol, caffeine, and nicotine, I think that probably puts all of us in that category. Money, power, and believe me, these can be intoxicating, literally and figuratively. But the high doesn't last. And too often it can lead down a path that ends in addiction, self-destruction, or the devastation of others. I was having a conversation just the other day with some friends about some musicians who were so very talented and yet died before their time because they sought happiness at the end of a needle, a joint, or the bottom of a bottle. People like Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, actors like Marilyn Monroe, John Belushi, River Phoenix, Heath Ledger. It's so hard not to be persuaded by these and the many other tempters that want us to believe that theirs is the gateway to joy. Theirs is the path to bliss and happiness. And the temptation is not exclusive of the realm of faith. There are some pretty awful moments in the history of God followers that reveal there are false gates there too. The Jim Jones Guyana tragedy in the 70s, where hundreds committed mass suicide, is but one example. A little more recently, you remember the Heaven's Gate cult, led by Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles, who convinced 39 people to commit suicide together and that their bodies would be taken up to eternal bliss once the spaceship that was hiding behind the Hale-Bopp comet made its run past the U.S. Many, many people try to convince us of a gate here or a path there. But Jesus says he alone is the gate. All others are thieves and bandits who've come to steal your soul, your hope, your true path to joy, and sometimes your life. None of the things we've mentioned, nothing can lead to true contentment except following the shepherd's voice. You can't find contentment at the end of a winning baseball or football season or a professional career as an athlete. You know, if you could, there wouldn't be nearly as many of them getting busted for drugs or violent crime and the like. They'd all be happy, well-behaved, productive citizens, and many are. But they're the ones who realize that it's not all about them, and that if their career ended tomorrow, their meaning and their purpose would not be over. Artist Amy Grant wrote a song entitled "Where Do I Go?" And part of her lyrics are, "Where do I go when I need a shelter? Where do I go when I need a friend? Where do I go when I need some helping? Where do I go? Back on my knees again." If you are here today, chances are good that you know where the path to happiness lies. You know the gate and the one who stands at the gate calling you in. You've known the answer for some time, but can get distracted and forget. For the voice of our shepherd can sometimes be soft and gentle, and the loud screaming voices of the bandits and thieves can steal our attention away. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." This image of finding pasture speaks to me of peace, rest, fulfillment, contentment, joy. We all know that finding pasture with Christ is our only true source of happiness and the only path to being whole. But hopefully we also know that this path is not without bumps and challenges. Once you go under the waters of baptism, you are not led down a path of pretty flowers and zero-calorie chocolate shakes. Darn it. You have joy and heartbreak, celebrations and challenges, light and darkness. But there is a presence leading you through it all. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," the scriptures tell us. It speaks of a presence lighting our darkness. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the Word. He is the guide and source of all that we truly need. And Christ alone can give us the staying power to become all that God has made us to be. Whole, joyful in all circumstances, content to live and love and serve, glorifying the living, loving God who is in all and through all and above all. I know there is much in the world around us with allure and appeal, and we can lose our true chance at happiness if we go around chasing those thieves and bandits disguised as glamour and power and fun. Please remember the true gate, the true joy, and the promise. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in
and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Reading from John 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Thus ends the reading.